Please join me in spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning I'm going to do something like I did last week. I'm going to be ranging between the New Testament lesson, the Hebrew Bible lesson, and also the epistle lesson. But you'll see that the sermon title is The Power and Peril of Clichés, and you may wonder why I am opening up my iPad, but we had some printer problems here this morning, and a list of clichés that I wanted to print out was not able to be printed out until we fixed the problem, but I've got it on my iPad here. So we all know about clichés, and I'm going to share some with you, and I suspect you've all heard these. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is like pulling hen's teeth. It's a diamond in the rough. This was more appropriate back when John Paul II was Pope, but is the Pope Polish? We're in the dog days of summer. Don't burn your bridges. That dog won't hunt. Don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. And then, of course, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. And that comes from today's lesson in Luke. But I want you to think about these clichés and how we can use clichés sometimes as, frankly, lazy thinking. I'm sure you can remember back in your school days writing an essay and possibly getting it turned back to you with red ink and a comment from your teacher or professor saying, "This is a cliché, do better." Think through your own images. And we don't just use these figures of speech because they're convenient, but sometimes we use them because they help us to justify our preferences and our beliefs. And what really got me thinking about this was a lesson from the Hebrew Bible. And there's one phrase in particular here that I have heard used in the church, not our church, but in the wider church. And it is often a refuge of those who oppose abortion rights. Now, I am not going to give you a sermon about abortion today. But I have heard people say, as we look at this passage, that God knew me in my mother's womb, which we also heard in the psalm. And the idea was that God made us right from the beginning, and we shouldn't muck up what God has made. Now, the problem with that, of course, is that people back in ancient times knew nothing about how babies actually came to be. They knew nothing about the sperms and the eggs. They knew nothing about the development of the baby in the womb. And frankly, they had no idea, as we have no idea, as to how consciousness arises and how the soul comes to be part of us. And I was thinking about the way people can use these clichés to justify where they're coming from. And when they do that, and we all do it, I'm guilty too, we can do the exact opposite of what Jesus want us to do, which is to look at the text, to think about it, to struggle with it, and to figure out what it is the text is trying to say to us. Now, Jeremiah was offering us what is known as a call narrative. He was telling us how he received the word that he was supposed to go out and share the message with the people. And this is one of the great call narratives in Scripture. And as you've heard the Hebrew Bible lesson, I'm hoping that it came to mind as we were reading the lesson from Luke. Jesus is in the midst of initiating his call. And you recall last week, we read the previous verses in Luke, and then Jesus basically enunciated his manifesto, his agenda. And people seem to listen to him. And they continue to listen to him at the beginning of this week's passage. But there was also some discomfort because Jesus was the son of Joseph. He was a carpenter's son. And people had to try to take their predispositions to who a scholar should be and who a scholar actually was and make sense of them. And at first, we hear that they were amazed and gracious. They thought the words that he shared were amazing and gracious. But then, after they asked, is this not Joseph's son? He said, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, doctor, cure yourself. And you will say, do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum. And then he offers a couple of examples from Scripture to support what he's done and who he is. And their response was to chase him out of the synagogue. Now, I am fortunate. I have never had any experience like that in all the years I've preached here or in any other place I've preached. And frankly, I don't think any pastor should ever equate himself or herself with Jesus. But some of our congregations are more inclined to listen to what they're hearing than are others. And it's important that we not be like the people who chase Jesus out of the synagogue and to the cliff edge with the intent of doing him grievous bodily harm. So where am I going with all of this? Well, I'm now going to take you to the city of Corinth in Greece. And Corinth was a bit of a boom town in the days of Paul. It was an up-and-coming place. There was a lot of money to be made. There were a lot of people who were getting their foot on an economic ladder, and that was good. But there were people who also felt an emptiness, and they wanted more from life. And yes, some of them would have gone off to the temples of the old gods, but some of them heard about the preachings of this guy Jesus, and what Jesus did, and what the Christian church was doing really spoke to them. And it was something new. And as happens with most communities, after a while, some tensions emerged. And people began to say that I'm more important than you, and we should do things my way. And discussions became arguments, and arguments became fights. And Paul heard all of this. And he was upset, because Paul loved the people of Corinth, and he loved that church. And so he wrote this letter to the Corinthians. He wrote two of them. But in this first one, he wrote this famous passage about the nature of love. Now, you can learn more about this by reading C.S. Lewis's book, The Four Loves. And he talks about the different forms of love in the ancient world. And in Scripture, we read about something called storge, which is the love of empathy, basically placing yourself in another person's shoes. We read agape love, which we've talked about a lot in church over the years, and that is the love for one another, and also the love of God. We can talk about philia, which is the love of our fellow person, and finally, the love most people think of, which is eros, and that is what it sounds like. It's the love we may have for another person, romantic love and also sexual love, and that is not what Paul is focused on. Paul is focused on the agape love, the way we treat one another, the way we hear one another. And this is really important for us to hear, because now we're moving into the second full year of the pandemic, and it's great to see people here in church, but I know we all like more. We'd like to be able to have the folks on Zoom feel comfortable coming into the sanctuary, and I will confess that today is a good day to be on Zoom. It's cold outside. But it would be nice to be able to gather for coffee hour after worship. It would be nice to have the children gathered here in the front of our sanctuary and know that after the children's message, they could go downstairs. I had talked with a member of our congregation about what we might do after the pandemic, and she had the idea that we could have a church meal, a potluck, that we could all participate in, and we we set up the tables in the parish hall, and it's a lovely idea, but the dream of having that take place last year didn't happen. It isn't going to happen anytime soon. And there is a temptation for us to give up, to be frustrated. And frankly, at some level, to get on one another's nerves. Now, I don't know about you, but I have found the last couple of years to be trying and difficult. And I'm going to be touching a little bit on the annual meeting message I'm going to share with you. But it's been trying and difficult for all of us. And, you know, as I think about clergy and the burnout they've dealt with, I think about people in healthcare and doctors and nurses and others who are providing services to those who are ill and need help. And I think of all of the love and dedication they've shared and everything they've had to endure. But we're still in the world where we have to deal with our own frustrations and our own issues. And I'm going to share something a little bit personal here. And some of you may know this and some of you may not, but as I was going through the last couple of years, I was reading articles about clergy and the burnout they were experiencing. And my temptation was to say, that's not me, everything's fine and hunky-dory. But I have a wife and a son who live with me, and they see me every day. And they were beginning to notice some changes in my behavior and attitudes. And I was encouraged to go see the doctor, which I finally did once it was okay for us to make appointments. And I found out that I had high blood pressure. And it was at such a level that I was in danger of getting a heart attack. And I was lucky I wasn't sent off to check into the hospital, but I was prescribed some pills. And I started taking those pills, and my blood pressure came down, and you know, things are better, so my memory is more focused, I don't tire as easily, I suspect I'm not going to have a heart attack anytime soon, and that was because some people I knew loved me enough to be on my case. And I want to apologize to any of you that I've been short with, or I seem not to have heard what you're saying over the last year or so, because I was working through these issues. Now, that doesn't give me an excuse. I don't have a permission slip from the doctor to say it's all okay. But I want us to think about this idea of agape love. And I want us to think about the future. Because we have the opportunity, working together, to figure out what we want this community to be. And we know that this church is important to the community. We know this is a place, not only where we may gather, but the music center has concerts, and we have some other groups that have performed here, and people come in our doors, and that is a blessing that we can share with one another. I'd like us to think about our mission program, which has been a source of frustration for me over the last year, and I appreciate those who serve on the committee, but we've had a falling away of leadership in that area, and now we as a church need to ask, what does mission mean to us? Now, we've got a great open door ministry, and I'm particularly grateful for the work Brian does with that, and for the money that's provided through the budget and the offering, the communion offering each week. But I would hope we would do more in the mission area. And it's not because I've got a political agenda. I think we're called to do this. And it really warmed my heart when we were able to host the Little House out beyond the parking lot. And that's the kind of thing that churches should be doing. But I need you all to step up. I need someone here to be the chair of the committee in the year going ahead to set the agenda to drive our work forward. And there are other areas where things could be better and other areas where people have picked up the ball and run with it. So I want to thank two people who are not here today, Terry and John Scott in particular, who were riding herd on us to get something done with our Zoom stream. And we got the new equipment we're using here a couple of weeks ago. John Scott ordered it for us, and we now hopefully are once again having a good live stream this week, and you're able to hear everything we say and see everything, and that's good. But it would be nice if we could move beyond the place where someone has to rally around the flag to make something happen at the last minute. It would be nice if people were fully invested in the full panoply of activities we have here at the church. And one thing that's going on here right now is a review of our bylaws. And people have invested a lot of energy in that. And we're hoping that there'll be a report at the annual meeting, and then we'll have something to discuss and vote on at a later date. This is the ministry we have been called to do. This is ministry that you have all been called to do. Everybody here can tell a call to have. They can share that story with each other. And you may not have a lovely version like Jeremiah. You may not have something as dramatic as Moses. But somehow, in some way, each of us has heard and felt the Holy Spirit touching us and encouraging us to be involved in the life of a faith community. And I am grateful, and I feel love for all of you. Not because I'm just your minister, but because I have come to know you over the years. And I just want to thank you for being who you are, and for sharing your love with the church, and for sharing your love with one another. So let's join together now in the spirit of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for calling each of us and all of us to share the good news of your love and your saving power with the world and also with one another. Let us do it today and all the days that come.